Blessings. This is the reading of the Lord in Spanish. Salmo 137, 1 al 8. It's like singing. Spanish is like singing. So just tag along. Junto a los ríos de Babilonia nos sentábamos y llorábamos al acordarnos de Sion. Sobre los sauces en medio de ella colgábamos nuestras arpas, pues allí los que nos habían llevado cautivos nos pedían canciones. Y los que nos atormentaban nos pedían alegría, diciendo, cantadnos alguno de los cánticos de Sion. ¿Cómo cantaremos la canción del Señor en tierra extraña? Si me olvido de ti, Jerusalén, pierda mi diestra su destreza. Péguese mi lengua al paladar si no me acuerdo de ti, si no enaltezco a Jerusalén sobre mi supremo gozo. Recuerda, oh Señor, contra los hijos de Edom el día de Jerusalén, quien nos dijeron, arrasadla, arrasadla hasta sus cimientos. Oh hija de Babilonia, la devastada, bienaventurado el que te devuelva el pago con que nos pagaste. And now in English. Psalm 137, 1-8. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept, when we remember Zion. On the willows there we hang up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy, remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall. How they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. This is the word of the Lord.
The Old Testament lesson from Lamentations. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become, where she was great among the nations. She that was a princess among the provinces has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile with suffering and hard servitude. She lives now among the nations and finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the festivals. All her gates are desolate, her priests groan, her young girls grieve, and her lot is bitter. Her foes have become the masters, her enemies prosper, because the Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away, captives before foe. From daughter Zion has departed all her majesty. Her princes have become like stags that find no pasture. They fled without strength before the pursuer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One bread, one cup, one faith, one Lord, one world, one humanity. Can we see it? Can we believe it? Can we be it? Even in these times? Last October, I traveled with several other Broadway members on a mission trip to Piedras Negras, Mexico. With our denominational partner, Fellowship Southwest, now called Faith Works. On the first night of our trip, we went down to the Cathedral Square, where the community was celebrating a week-long Dia de los Muertos festival. It was a beautiful fall evening. The lights on the square were lovely. The voices of children were joyful. From the square, we walked then about a football field north to an overlook above the Rio Grande. It was pitch black. Except for the lights of immigration and customs enforcement boats patrolling up and down the water. Soon, the searchlights centered on a cluster of brush on the other side of the river. There were shouts across the water. Then a family came climbing cautiously out of the bushes. I could see a small child clutching her mother's arms. Our guide on the trip, Pastor Israel Rodriguez of First Baptist Piedras Negras, told us the family was probably awaiting an appointment with U.S. authorities, but got anxious about the upcoming U.S. presidential election. They decided in desperation to try to cross over. Now their fate was in ISIS hands. I grew ill in my stomach. I felt sadness and shame. I thought of the words of the psalmist who said, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept." The next day, we were at Pastor Israel's church, where a number of families were staying as they awaited their own immigration interviews. My daughter, Gabrielle, who is fluent in Spanish, helped entertain the children for the day. Gabby met Miguel, a 10-year-old Chilean boy staying at the church. He had walked with his dad 13 countries to get to Piedras Negras. They were seeking asylum in the U.S., but in his first interview with immigration, Miguel's dad froze up, unable to talk. He was now seeking a second appointment. They had been waiting for months. As Gabby talked with Miguel, he told her about his travel experiences. They had crossed the dangerous Darien Gap between Colombia and Panama, where young Miguel saw dead bodies lying unburied along the jungle trail. Miguel was nervous about his father's next appointment. He was worried about what would be awaiting him next. At some point in the conversation, Gabby says Miguel looked at her longingly and with wonder. "America es bella?" he asked. "Is America beautiful?" By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept. Set before us today are two great symbols. The first symbol is a wall, visible and invisible, rising high above the banks of the river, constructed of concrete and steel, topped with concertina wire, backed by border checks and bureaucracies, men in masks, detention centers in desert places, and deportation flights to third world countries. The wall is a symbol of power and might, callousness and cruelty, an inhospitable sign in an inhospitable world. The other symbol set before us today represents an entirely different kind of world. The symbol is a table. It is a sign of a world where all are welcome and fed and cared for and at one with one another. Today is World Communion Sunday. And today we gather at the table with Christians all around the earth. And with one accord this morning, we affirm today our common humanity, our spiritual family. We are all siblings at the table of the Lord. And at the table, we profess our hope today that if the heart of our churches could for one brief morning be opened to one another, well, then maybe the heart of this whole world could be opened also forever. The table is our sign for our world. The sign of the church for the world around us. One bread, one cup, one Lord, one world, one humanity. I've told you before about my great uncle, Roy Bass, and the communion table at the church of my boyhood, Second Baptist Lubbock. It is a story that is a defining one for that church, and indeed a defining one for me and my whole understanding of what it means to belong to one another. 2B was founded in 1958. And early on, they were meeting in the sanctuary trying to decide if they were going to have an open communion table or not. Who would be welcome at the table? Just Southern Baptists? Others also? Be assured, race was the real topic of the conversation. They were arguing it out in the sanctuary when suddenly the doors in the back of the church swung open and Uncle Roy was standing there. He began to speak to the congregation. I am Paul of Tarsus, he said. I am not a Baptist. I'm not even an American. But I want to share the table with you. Can I too come and sup? And the story goes that in that very moment, well, the debate was over. Second B would have an open table, and Uncle Roy would be elected deacon of the church and later mayor of the city. Would that we had more mayors and deacons like him now. The borders on our maps and the boundaries of our races and the walls between our churches are drawn by politicians and generals and bishops and deacons and demagogues and zealots demanding our separation. But when God looks down upon us, God does not see the same borders and boundaries and walls. In fact, the Bible tells us Christ has destroyed the wall, the division of separation between all people. So when God looks down upon this world, God does not see walls. God sees Miguel's. God sees Gabby's. God, Jesus says, sees birds falling from the sky and sparrows searching for a home. God sees God's children searching for a home. Even in Babylon. Today we are home. Even here, in this time, and in this place. And today, we are family. And today, if even for just a moment, we have a foretaste of what it will one day mean for every one of us to belong, to truly, truly belong to a church in a world where all are welcome in the beloved community of God. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you believe it? Can we be it? The table is open. You don't have to be Baptist. You certainly don't have to be Southern Baptist. There's more than one way to be a Baptist. Let the church say amen. And you also don't have to be an American. and you don't have to be a U.S. citizen, and you don't have to be born on this side of the wall. For in Christ, the wall has been destroyed, and it was replaced with a table. And in Christ, separation and segregation were replaced with communion. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one bread, one cup, one God and parent of us all. And one Christ and Savior of us all also. This is his table. And he says, come. Ven a la mesa. Come to the table of siblinghood. Come to the table of care and belonging. Come to the table of family. Come, Miguel. Come, Gabby. Come all to the table of our oneness, our communion, our future, our destiny, our hope, even in such a time as this. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, amen and amen.